This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
And I'm Jasmine Creighton.
Well, Matt Lauer, Charlie Rose, Mark Halperin, those are a few of the journalists who've lost their jobs in recent weeks amid a growing number of sexual harassment complaints made against men in the news and entertainment industries.
You know, the Harvey Weinstein allegations have seemed to open the floodgates here. And if anything positive has come from this, I think many brave women have felt it comfortable to come forward and make allegations that apparently many of them have been repressing for years and decades. And it needed to come out. And, you know, no one is safe, and nor should they be. This is insidious and heinous, and this is something that apparently is pervasive in our culture. It's in our newsrooms. It's in the workplace. And I think that we need to relook and see how we train and assess our employees and candidates and really try to combat this. This is a serious problem that is painfully obvious right now.
Yeah, I'm glad that these women are coming forward and feel comfortable enough to deal with what's been going on in this industry for a very, very long time. I mean, the news business started out as a man's world, and it's only been since really the 70s that women started taking higher roles and moving up the chain and being able to even be on air to begin with. So now we see women coming out and talking about things that have been going on for decades and continue to go on. And it's not something that just started. It's something that's been going on a very long time. And I'm glad that women are maybe feeling comfortable enough to speak out so we can, you know, get rid of some of these people who have been such a problem. And it's obviously not all women that this has happened to. It can happen to men or women, but recently we've been seeing more women coming out and speaking.
Well, I almost get the feeling it's happened to every woman. The number of stories we're hearing and the idea that this just seems to be pervasive in the workforce and in these newsrooms.
You know, we've heard of these stories before Harvey Weinstein and so forth had surfaced. But again, I think what we're learning now is that this is, as you said, Rich, this is very pervasive, and this is a serious issue that we have to keep ourselves in check about. And I'm wondering, where was the training for this? Where was the vetting for this? Because I know in every newsroom I've worked in, we had to have yearly, a proactive sit-down talk with the HR director about prohibiting sexual assault, sexual abuse of any kind, of any nature. And it was thorough. It was usually an hour long, but it was something we always had to do. I think this is something that is apparently what we're also finding out now is that it's apparently missing out of some of these newsrooms.
Well, I mean, you and me and Jasmine, we're kind of cogs in the machine. We don't have a great deal of power. When you hear about people like Charlie Rose and Matt Lauer, this really sounds like an abuse of power, like mm-hmm. they felt they could do whatever they wanted and there would be no consequences.
Yeah, and they probably had to sit through a sexual harassment training once or twice.
While they rolled their eyes and didn't pay attention.
And while they also interviewed people who had been accused of doing this. I mean, Matt Lauer had done an interview with Bill O'Reilly, who was also, I don't know if he's so much a journalist, but he had been accused and had lost his position. And Matt Lauer sat there stone-faced and asked him questions that he could be asking himself. So there are plenty of people out there who are out there and doing exactly what they say they're not doing. And there are plenty of people who are suffering for it. Now, you're talking about, Will, how you had actually done sexual harassment training all your life in this business. I don't remember having to do that until I came here to Western. I mean, some of the educational institutions, but not all of the jobs that I've worked in this business. And I think that's interesting. There wasn't that annual training you had to take all the time. And I definitely have experienced sexual harassment in this business, whether it's in education or working in a newsroom. I worked as the only woman in my production staff in Las Vegas most of the time. I was on the shift by myself, and I definitely dealt with some issues where people didn't treat me the way they should have been treating me because I was the only woman there. And you know, this business is actually very heavily male. I think a lot of people think, oh, there's more women journalists. There really aren't. There are way more men out there, and even in the educational system, we have more men just taking these majors. So there really need to be more women who feel comfortable about being in this profession and don't feel like there are going to be people that are going to somehow hurt them in some way.
And Will, I mean, you mentioned the Harvey Weinstein scandal sort of opening the floodgates, but at the risk of sounding political, I'm going to say it goes back to the election of Donald Trump as president. Trump has been accused of some pretty bad things himself. And the day after the inauguration, there were women's rallies all around the nation. And I wonder if some of the stuff that is developing now has its roots in those women's rallies.
Absolutely. I think it's definitely so. And I think I want to bring up a point, though, that I think each of you have made. And I think it's what's very pervasive, even more so, is maybe it's men of power who hold high places, as up to the president of the United States, to your star anchor on the Today Show, NBC News, et cetera, PBS, CBS This Morning, what have you. I think it may be what might be especially what's been revealed is that maybe, yes, perhaps the Charlie Roses and the Matt Lauers and Mark Halperins have undergone this training, but maybe I think there was a sense that they're above that and they're above the law, and they did what they want and they were allowed to get away with it. But once, again, I think perhaps since Donald Trump and then Harvey Weinstein and then more accusations about Roy Moore and then this snowballed, that I thought more women felt comfortable enough to say, "Look, we don't have to be on the shadows anymore. We can speak up now." And I think that's what we're seeing here. And if there's a bright side to this, and the horrible things that have allegedly happened to these women, I think it's that.
Well, and there certainly are cases with men of power abusing that power, but I'm sure in newsrooms and workplaces across the country, there are people who don't have a lot of power who are still crossing a line. And there's always that challenge of having human interaction but not crossing that line. And that's something maybe where the sexual harassment training needs to be more pervasive and prevalent so that people understand what is acceptable and what is perhaps going over a line.
Yeah, because it's important to note that this doesn't just happen from supervisor to underling. This can happen from bottom up. This can happen with clients or customers who are not part of the company whatsoever that you're working for. So this can happen not just from a supervisory role.
Yeah, I would just add that I would hope that I don't know this for a fact, but you know, training, any kind of a training or awareness as an employer, I think if you're worth your salt, you are making it clear that such behavior isn't tolerated. And if you haven't done it up to this point, I would think the recent news and events would get you to wake up and to realize this is very important.
And just quickly, like Jasmine, I had never taken any sort of training until I got to Western. The commercial radio stations I worked at did not require it. So I don't know if the newspaper you worked at was on the leading edge of something or
perhaps. I just know that you know, we were always owned by large companies, McClatchy, Knight Ridder. I worked for both of them. Mm-hmm. I worked Lee Enterprises, those are very large companies between the two daily newspapers I worked for. And so perhaps they were, and that's to their credit. But I always assumed that it was typical, and apparently it's not.
Hey, we need to wrap things up for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.